Hey guys, I'm Alex Philbrick, and this is Fill in the Gap Podcast. We are part of the Vendetta Sports Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes by searching Fill in the Gap on the Apple Podcast, as well as SoundCloud and VendettaSportsMedia.com. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. Today we're going to take a look at the NFL Draft. Will Philbrick is joining me again to do a mock draft exercise where we will go back and forth making picks based on what we would do. Most mocks you see tend to be predicting what will happen or what the person thinks will happen. So we wanted to try and do something a little different by making selections according to what we would do. We will alternate picks and we'll still give thoughts on our own picks as well as each other's picks. For time's sake, we are splitting this into two episodes. So today's show will be picks 1 through 16. Then either tomorrow or Saturday, we will put out a show with the second half of the first round, picks 17 through 32. We're excited to do this together. So without further ado, here it is. Hope you guys enjoy. Will, thanks for joining me today. Coming on again, the most frequent guest. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. You know, we talked about NFL a lot on this show, especially with you. But, you know, it's as a lot of the sports fans across the country feel, can't get enough NFL. It's a year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's never too late for NFL talk.
It's never too early.
Never too early.
The draft is the next big event in the NFL since free agency is now not ended. There's still a lot of, you know, known guys that are unsigned. But for the most part, the first wave is what people say. The first wave is over. So a lot of the focus has turned back to the draft. It went from when the combine was going on, the focus was on that. Then it went to free agency. Now it's back on the draft. It's coming quickly. It's about a month away, a little bit over a month away. I know you're excited about it. Do you read mock drafts every day? Because there are tons of mock drafts that go out every day.
I do not read mock drafts every day, but, I mean, maybe like two or three a week. I mean, it's you can only read so many before they all start to run together and seem the same.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people who I like to follow and look at their mocks whenever they put out a new one. But,
right.
You know, scrolling through Twitter, I see different mocks at just pretty much every day. I don't look at all of them, but sometimes I can't help myself and I just have to click on them.
Right.
But in the intro, I mentioned how we're going to be alternating picks, which I think is a fun idea. It's, you know, most mocks that we see are just like what they think will happen based on just predicting or based if some people have, you know, connections, inside information that they get to hear what teams are thinking. So they go based on that. But it seems like most of them aren't what that person would do. A lot of NFL draft guys seem like they have what they would do based is what their rankings are for. So they rank players based on what they think, and then they do mocks based on what they're predicting to happen, which is fine. But for the sake of this, I think it's more fun to do what we're doing
right.
By, you know, what we would do.
Right. It requires a little more thought.
Yeah, definitely. We have shared with each other who we're picking. You know, we just texted back and forth what we would with each pick. We did it, like, what was it, a week or two ago? Before,
something like that.
It was before, it was a little bit like the day, a couple days after free agency, like the big news had hit. But it was before some of the trades that made the order different. So we didn't mind because we both enjoyed doing it. We just did it again after that to do an updated one. Some of the picks changed, mostly my picks. I don't know why, but that's the way it went. So we are aware of who the other person's going to pick. If we weren't, it would be really difficult, I think, to just pick off on the fly because we'd be sitting here going, give me 1 second. And we don't want to do that. So Will's going to have the first pick. So we're just going to, every single pick, we're going to alternate, like I said. So number one, Cleveland Browns. Will, you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, sure. With the first pick in the 2018 inaugural PIT draft.
PITG.
PITG.
Come on, man.
I knew I was going to mess it up.
It's all right.
The Cleveland Browns select quarterback Sam Darnold from USC.
I think that's what will also. I also think that's what will happen in the actual draft.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I think he's the second best quarterback in the draft. I think Baker's the best, but the only reason I would take him first is because I think he has the highest stock, and the Cleveland Browns desperately need stability at quarterback.
Yeah. What do you mean by highest stock? Do you are you meaning to say the highest upside, or do you mean something different by that?
I think he's a big. I think he's a big name, and he didn't. There was wasn't a lot of controversy in his combine performance. Mm-hmm. I think what you see is what you get with him, and I think that that is something that you can invest in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Darnold is. I think he has a great chance to be a great quarterback, just based on he has the tools. So, I think his upside is perhaps higher than Baker's, but. There's a little bit of a question mark, just because, really, we did, I know he started two seasons, but it, for some reason, to me, it feels like he's still a little bit of an unknown. For I don't know why. That might be incorrect or unfair, but that's just the way that that I feel whenever I think about Sam Darnold. And he also showed last season showed some turnover problems, which is if that's happening in college, that makes it a little bit scary because it would. Seem like it's more likely to happen in the NFL if it's happening to you in college. But again, I do think he will be the first pick, and I think that would be that he is a fine first pick. So Will went with Sam Darnold, number one overall, to the Browns. Number two, the Giants. Before I say my pick, I will say I would not be surprised to see the Giants trade out of this pick. But
really?
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Just if somebody offers them, you know, like the Redskins offered the Rams a few years back with RG3, just a plethora of picks.
Yeah,
I think I could see that happening. But as me and Will discussed a couple days ago when we were doing this, we weren't going to try to mess with trades just because that would. I mean, it could get crazy and really, there's. I mean. How in the world would we know how to guess that? So we just went with the order as it is right now. So number two, Giants. I have them picking Baker Mayfield. You know, it's no secret I'm a Mayfield believer. We are both Sooners fans. So I understand that this could end up being just me being a homer. But I do think he will be a successful quarterback in the NFL. The Giants do seem like they're putting their, you know, they're backing Eli still. For this season, at least. But, if you're the Giants, you never know when you're going to have the chance to pick this high again and take a quarterback that could be your quarterback for the future after Eli's gone, which is not going to be that long. So that's why I have them going with Baker. What are your? I know you love Baker, obviously, but do you see the
right.
Do you? I see the Giants, if they stay at number two, taking a quarterback. I don't think it'll be Baker, but... I do think that they will take a quarterback as opposed to Saquon Barkley or maybe Quentin Nelson, something like that. What do you see the Giants doing?
I mean, I could see the Giants taking Baker Mayfield. I agree with you. I think they are going to take a quarterback at number two, but I'm not sure that Baker Mayfield is the right pick for the Giants necessarily, just because I don't think he fits Pat Shurmur's offense, as well as maybe Eli does, or even another quarterback that they might bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that I'd be iffy about.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, those are fair points, I think. And that's why I think they'll probably, if they do take a quarterback, take like, I would think that in real world, they're going to go with Josh Allen. I mean, I'm sorry, not Josh Allen, Josh Rosen.
Right.
But it's, hey, it's what we would do. And I would go with Mayfield, so... number three is the Jets. You can go ahead with your number three.
Number three, the Jets will select Josh Allen, quarterback from Wyoming. And I realize that he is being taken over Josh Rosen, who's a little bit more proven just because he went to a, you know, kind of a bigger name school, UCLA. But I think Josh Allen will give some stability. It's always nice to have young, fresh blood at quarterback. And I think he is going to be groomed for about 1 or 2 years under Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he'll start his first season only because, you know, the Jets went out and signed these two quarterbacks. Not super big names, but, I mean, Josh McCown did have the best season of his career. last season. Yeah. Unfortunately, he got cut short. And then you bring in Teddy Bridgewater as, you know, some stability. Both of these guys are veterans, so I think that'll be good for Josh Allen.
Yeah, and another, your point about him going to Rosen having, you know, seeming more proven because he went to UCLA, but it's also because Allen really didn't have a great college career. I mean, he's being drafted as because of his tools, which obviously do matter, but he is very raw, but he has extreme talent. The Jets traded up from 6 to 3 with the Colts. And I would be shocked if they didn't do that to take a quarterback. So that this pick totally makes sense. And it also makes sense because that just seems like such a Jets move to pick Josh Allen, who is such a question mark, even though he could very well turn out to be an awesome quarterback, but he is such a question mark, and that's just so typical Jets to me. But that would scare me as a Jets fan. The good news is, like you said, they re-signed McCown, they brought in Bridgewater, so it's not quite just, you know, all or nothing with this pick, but it is obviously a huge pick for the future of their franchise.
Right.
Number four, Cleveland Browns pick again, and this is the first non-quarterback. I have them taking Saquon Barkley. I don't think he'll go number one. I know after the combine there for a couple weeks, that was the talk that Saquon... not after the combine, after the Tyrod Taylor trade. It seemed they're going to take Barkley now, number one. I don't think that happens. I do think they go with Darnold, like you said at the beginning. But... you know, I think they still get Barkley at 4, which is awesome for them. A lot of people have Barkley as the number one prospect in the draft. I do like Barkley a lot. His athleticism is phenomenal. His production in college was really good. I have a little bit of concern about his ability at the next level to run between the tackles, but even if he is just an average between the tackles runner, I don't think he's going to be a bad between the tackles runner, but if he's just average, he's still going to be an excellent pass catching running back, which is a big deal in the NFL. So I feel like at his minimum, he's going to be one of the best pass catching running backs in the league and an average between the tackles runner. So that's like his floor, which is solid. But I think he'll be better than average between the tackles while still being an excellent pass catcher. This would be awesome. I mean, an awesome haul for the Browns in the top four to get somebody who they love at quarterback than Saquon Barkley, who is electric.
Right.
I mean, do you love Barkley as much as it seems like everybody else does?
I do. I think he's a stud. And if like you said earlier, his floor is just being a solid running back, I mean, the Browns could definitely use that. And I think, I mean, like you said earlier, if they can snag Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley, and if they can put them both to at least good use, then, I mean, I think they can get at least 5 wins.
Oh, definitely. Similar to the Jets, though, I don't think that whoever the Browns pick at number one is going to start the season. I mean, actually, I'll be shocked if they do, just because they have Tyrod now, and I think that's the purpose that they want him to serve. I mean, I could see if they pick a quarterback in the top four, I could see him, you know, starting some games towards the end of the season when they're out of the playoff race. But to start the season, I think they're going to try to let their quarterback sit and, you know, prepare himself more for starting for the future. So number four went with Saquon Barkley. Browns add another dynamic playmaker. You can go ahead with your next pick.
All right, so at number five, the Denver Broncos select Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, quarterback from UCLA, like I mentioned earlier, a little bit more proven. He's got all the tools. He's stable, and he can give some stability to the Broncos' quarterback position, which they have lacked at since, you know, Peyton Manning retired.
Yeah.
Similar to the Jets, I don't think he'll play his first year. I think he'll sit under Keenum. I don't think he would go out and sign Keenum to a big contract like that just to have him be a backup his first year in Denver. So I think it'll be good for Josh Allen to get in there and, you know, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I
do. To get in there and, you know, get a few games, get a few, maybe even a season under Keenum.
Yeah, I can't stand that they're both named Josh because I get them mixed up like we've done multiple times already.
We've done it like three times
already. You know, I could see the Broncos going just best available here, whether that's a defensive player, an offensive lineman. But if I agree with you. If it were me, I would be going with a quarterback just because, personally, I don't love Case Keenum as the quarterback for the future. And so I still think you have to address that. If there's somebody that you love there, I mean, obviously, if trades happen and you know, if you love two guys and they both get picked before you, I wouldn't force a quarterback that I didn't really love. But I think that I could definitely see Elway loving Josh Rosen and going with him at number five. So let's review the top five real quick. Number one was Will went with Sam Darnold. Number two, I picked Baker Mayfield to the Giants. Then third, Will picked Josh Allen to the Jets. Fourth, I picked Saquon Barkley to the Browns. And fifth, Will just picked Josh Rosen to the Broncos. This is Fill in the Gap podcast. Will Philbrick is joining me again. We are alternating picks in a mock draft based on what we would pick if we were in the spot for whatever team is there. We're at number six now. This is my pick, the Indianapolis Colts. We mentioned the trade. They now pick six. They picked up three second-round picks from the Jets in the trade last week. And at number six, I have them taking Bradley Chubb, the defensive end from NC State. I think he is the best pass rusher in the draft this year. He might be the best defensive player overall in the draft. And I think if the Colts were still picking third, they would pick Bradley Chubb anyway. So to get three second-round picks, only move back three spots, and still get the guy that you want at number six, that's a great trade for the Colts. They need help all across the board, offense and defense, but I think Chubb immediately makes an impact on their defense, makes it better, adds some pass rush that they so desperately need, and I think it's a really, really, really good pick for the Colts at number six.
I agree. I had him go into the Colts at number three before the Colts and the Jets switched. So
same.
I think he's a stud. So, you know, you don't need a lot on offense right now with hopefully Andrew Luck coming back next season. So it's always nice to get some rotation in the defensive line, get some fresh reps in there.
Yeah. I totally agree.
So at number seven, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Minka Fitzpatrick. Minka Fitzpatrick is a quarterback from Alabama. He's a stud, and I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could use some youth in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
They can put him alongside Vernon Hargreaves, who is also, I mean, he's a stud. His stats aren't amazing, but I mean, he's proven that he can play pretty well. And the Buccaneers recently signed Brent Grimes back to a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. And he's been in the league for a long time now.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good for both of these guys to learn from a veteran like Grimes.
Yeah. So do you think Minka will play corner, or do you think he'll be a safety?
I said corner earlier, but I think that he will play safety just because I think that is where the Bucks will need him more.
Mm-hmm. See, I agree that I think he'll play safety, but it's for a different reason, and it's just because I think he's better at safety. I don't know that he can play NFL corner. I mean, well, I think he can. I don't know that he can excel at corner in the NFL,
right.
But I do think he can excel at safety in the NFL. I do. I love Minka. Like, a couple months ago, I thought for a little while that he might be the best player in the draft overall. I don't know that I think that still, and not because of anything he's done, just because, you know, I've started to learn more about more guys. But at Alabama, his production was amazing. He was a leader on the team. He was awesome. He was versatile on the field. But one of the things that made me buy all in on Minka Fitzpatrick was during the middle of last season, I started reading about how highly Nick Saban thought of him. And if Nick Saban, who is a defensive genius, a defensive back genius more specifically, for him to speak that highly of Minka Fitzpatrick, especially considering all the number of really, really good defensive backs he's had, I've never heard him speak as highly of anybody, of any of the other ones, as I heard him talk about Minka Fitzpatrick. His teammates as well talk so highly about, like, how much he knows about the game, how much he prepares. Like, they call him, like, the robot, because he just he knows everything that's about to happen, and he showed that on the field. But he was one of my favorite players to watch, and I think he's going to be awesome. I'm excited about Minka for sure.
Yeah.
Next pick, number 8, Chicago Bears. I had them taking Quentin Nelson, guard from Notre Dame. I know a guard is not the sexiest pick, especially in the top 10, but Quentin Nelson, man, he's a stud. He's arguably the top player in the draft overall. He's going to be awesome. He's going to start right away. He's going to improve your offensive line right away from day one.
Right.
I love Quentin Nelson. I think he's going to be, as I just said, he's going to be awesome. I wouldn't even hesitate if I were the Bears here, regardless of, you know, what their offensive line is like. You know, it's not good, but it might not be their biggest need. But, I mean, I think this guy is that good where you have to take him. I think this would be a slam dunk pick for the Bears.
I agree. And especially with Josh Sitton leaving, I think Quentin Nelson's going to be a big pick, and I think he's going to start immediately.
That, without a doubt, he'll start immediately. I don't know... I don't know that he compares, you know, the way he plays to Zach Martin. That's a comparison that people, you know, easily go to because they're both guards. They're both from Notre Dame. They're both going to be high draft picks. But just in the sense of immediate impact, I think he's Zach Martin level as far as that goes. But
I agree.
Let's see. 49ers are next, and you had the pick for the 49ers.
Right, and I was kind of excited to make this pick.
Really?
49ers, yeah, they're a young team. They just got Jimmy G, and I had to take that into account with my pick, which is why I overall took Calvin Ridley, wide receiver from Alabama, for the San Francisco 49ers. I think Calvin Ridley is a stud. I think he can go up and get it, and I think it's good to get young receivers and young like running backs and tight ends right now for Jimmy, so you can get that pairing. Just for instance, I'm gonna show my homerism again, but like Carson Wentz and Nelson Aguilar going to get that young pairing in there. So I think that'll be good for both him and Jimmy. And I think they need a new weapon on offense.
I got
because
you.
Marquise Goodwin is a stud, but he's getting older. So it'd be good to have some fresh blood on offense.
Yeah, and they'll get Pierre Garçon back from injury last year. And he is older. He's good, and he's going to be good again next year, I think. But he is older, yeah, like you said. They do need wide receiver help. But this is probably this is one pick that we're going to disagree on. I don't like Calvin Ridley. Let me say that a different way. I don't like Calvin Ridley that high. The receivers in this draft class aren't very good to me. He might be the best one. There's one that we'll get to here in a few picks that I actually do like a little bit better, but he scares me because I know he's going to be taken in that first round, but I don't know that he's going to be that first round wide receiver. Like you said, whenever you said you were excited to make this pick, I thought you meant because you liked Calvin Ridley so much. But I agree with you about the reasoning that you did give regarding the 49ers being a team that you're very interested in, because I feel the same way. I think they could go a number of different ways. They've already improved their team this offseason. I think they're only going to do that even more with a top 10 pick. But I would, just as somebody who is going to start rooting for the 49ers, I would be a little bit disappointed if they made this pick, just because I don't think he's going to be the impact player that you want to get at number 9.
Yeah, I just think you and I would disagree on this, but I think he's the best available receiver. I would agree with you that there's not an absolutely astounding receiver class this year, but I think he's the best out of the receivers available.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I would probably put him second, so it's not like I think he's terrible.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah. So, Calvin Ridley to the 49ers at number 9. Number 10 pick is Oakland Raiders. Niners and Raiders flipped a coin to see who picked 9, who picked 10.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders pick number 10. I chose Derwin James, safety from Florida State. He had his pro day yesterday. I know I talked very highly about Minka, and I'm going to do the same about Derwin James. He's almost exactly the same as Minka to me as far as how highly I think of him as a player. He 2 seasons ago, he tore his meniscus and was out for the whole season. Last year, he's admitted that he felt rusty coming back, but he got better as the season went on. He's a freak athlete, man. He reminds me a lot of Cam Chancellor in the sense that they're both very versatile. They're both hard-hitting safeties. They can move down in the box. They can cover They could even move outside and play corner. In James's case, probably more so than Chancellor. But he's faster than Chancellor. He might even be just a little bit more athletic overall. I think he's going to be a stud. And if the Raiders got him at 10, I think that would be an awesome pick. He can anchor their secondary for years to come, which they need somebody to do. They have Khalil Mack up front, anchoring the front seven. I think, Derwin James could anchor the back end for a long time to come. So I went with that's why I went with him. I think he's going to play safety, but as I said, he can move all over the field as he did at Florida State. So I really like him a lot.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, Derwin James is a stud. He's fast, he's quick, and he's tall. I mean, he's got like long arms, and he's just a stud. I like the Cam Chancellor parallel that you made earlier, just because they're both just flying to the ball, and they mm-hmm. can lay the boom if they need
yeah.
to.
But at the same time, they're smart. Like they're not right. just they're not out of control.
They have direction.
Know, yeah, that, which is I mean that's key. So necessary. Yeah, I agree.
All right, so number 11, that would be the Miami Dolphins. They are going to take Marcus Davenport, who is a defensive end from University of Texas San Antonio, and this guy is an absolute stud. He is 6'6", and he weighs 264 pounds, and he ran a 4.5 at the combine. It was a 4.58, so it was a little closer to 4.6, but even for a guy who's 6'6", 264, that's impressive. He did 22 reps on the bench press, so he's strong, and I think he's, I mean, at this point, with Ndamukong Suh gone and the Dolphins finishing 14th in rush defense, I think you have to take him right here.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are similar to the Colts in the sense that they need help at every level of the defense. Like could take any defensive position. They could also take almost any offensive position, but especially on the defensive side, they just need help across the board. So and pass rushing is such a big such a key in today's game.
Yes.
Then so I think that would be a good pick to get a pass rusher that they really liked. And I mean Davenport, he's a little bit raw, and he's part of. I guess I feel that way a little bit also because of he's kind of unknown because he played at a small school and he played against a little bit lesser competition than some of the other guys.
Sure.
But as you said, his measurables are as good or better than anybody else's in the draft. So he obviously has that upside. I really don't. It's hard to say. You know, the Dolphins would be knocking it out of the park just because I don't know about Marcus Davenport, but that's not me saying that I don't believe in him.
Right.
I'm literally just saying I don't really know what to expect from him, you know?
Right, right. I mean, that's fair. I mean, you can only expect so much from someone who's played at UTSA, mm-hmm. so, and the Conference USA, so it's a little difficult.
Yeah, but, you know, every year it seems like you have one or two guys that are from smaller places that are, you know, thought of to go this high in the draft. I mentioned Khalil Mack a minute ago. He went to Buffalo, but he went number 5 overall, I think. And, you know, people probably said the same thing about him, and he's one of the best players in the league now. So that doesn't mean that it's not going to work out. Number 12 is the Buffalo Bills. They traded with the Bengals. They had picks 21 and 22, traded one of them to the Bengals to move up. Before I say this, I'll do the same thing I did with the Giants. I think that the Bills will make another trade to move up and take a quarterback. But as I said earlier, we're not going to try to predict trades. So we just went with the order as it is right now. And so I have the Bills at number 12, selecting Tremaine Edmonds, a linebacker from Virginia Tech. Edmonds reminds me a lot of Anthony Barr. Size is very, very, very similar, almost identical. Both very athletic, both play linebacker, obviously. He's really tall, just like Barr, which I know I just mentioned they have similar size, but he's like 6'5 or 6'6, which is really tall for an inside linebacker.
Right.
Similar to Davenport, his athleticism is off the charts, especially for his size. I like Edmonds a lot. He kind of came onto the scene as far as, you know, highly thought of prospects a little bit later. It wasn't like he was all season was thought of as this guy who's going to go top 15. It seemed like the past couple of months he kind of entered that conversation, and I think he's only, you know, rising up the up draft boards. I'm actually really excited about watching him just because he intrigues me for some reason. I can't put my finger on why, but he does. I think it's just because his athleticism combined with how big he is playing that position. I think it'll be awesome to see how he does in the NFL. If he went to the Bills, I think that would suck for him just because he has to live in Buffalo and play for the Bills. But they need help on the defense, and I think he's going to be a good player. So number 13 is the Redskins, and that's your pick, so go ahead.
13, I have the Redskins taking wide receiver Christian Kirk from Texas A&M. This guy is an impact player, and he was pretty good with Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. He's a quick slot guy, and that's, I mean, in a increasingly passing league in the NFL that we have, that's something valuable, is a slot guy who you can just rely on to just dump it off to at like 10 or 15 yards downfield. I think with Terrell Pryor gone, you need someone to boost that offense, yeah. And I also think that you need someone to pair with Alex Smith.
Yeah, Kirk is my favorite wide receiver in this draft class. Before I say anything about him, I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you have a player comparison for him?
If I had to, I'd say I probably got Farrell Cooper.
Okay, yeah.
Even Diet Julian Edelman.
Yeah. I mean, slot-wise, yeah. The Farrell Cooper one is pretty good because he is Kirk is also excellent in the return game, which Farrell Cooper made the Pro Bowl from that. I like Kirk a lot. I'm going to make two quick comparisons. His playing style and who I see when he plays, I feel like he is almost identical to Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Both very fast, both very good after the catch, similar size, both play the slot. I think the way they play, he might be a little bit faster even than Golden Tate, but that's the comparison I see. And another comparison that I've thought of for a little while now is Odell Beckham Jr. Not the way they play. He's not going to be outside on the outside like Odell. I don't think their playing styles are the same. I don't think even their abilities are the same. I don't think he's as talented as Odell, but just from the sense of, it seems like when Odell was at LSU, you know, obviously he was a first-round pick, so he, you know, people knew about him, but he wasn't doing things at LSU like he did in the NFL, wide receiver-wise, you know? He was being used in different ways, and that's partly because he was on a terrible, an offense at LSU that was ran poorly. His quarterbacks were not very good. His coaching was even worse, offensive-wise, but... And then when he came to the NFL, he exploded, and people were like, man, where was this guy at LSU?
Right.
Kirk.
So you think Kirk can explode like that in the NFL?
I think I could see him doing that because at Texas A&M, he showed a lot of, you know, great things, but I think he was held back from his quarterback play and from, you know, probably just the offense that he was in. And so I could see him, you know, I could see him in the NFL really flourishing and people going, man, why did A&M not use him better and do better with him? Similar to the way that people feel that way, at least I feel that way about Odell at LSU. So that's where that comparison comes from.
Sure.
But yeah, I really like Kirk a lot. Number 14 is Green Bay. I hate Green Bay, but I'm picking for them. Number 14, I have the Packers going with Denzel Ward, cornerback from Ohio State. It feels like it happened all of a sudden, but they just lacked talent on defense last year.
Yes.
Part of that is due to injuries, but part of that is due to just guys getting old and being out of their, and, you know, being past their prime, like Clay Matthews. You know, they need help. I think they're going to pick defense here. Cornerback, they need help at cornerback. Their secondary is not very good. They have Hogg, Clinton Dix, and he's fine, but you obviously need more than that. So that's why I have them going Denzel Ward. This dude, he's a little bit raw. He has to, you know, polish his game a little bit, but he has tremendous speed. He can fly. He flew at the combine. He ran 4.3 something.
Yeah, 4.32.
Yeah, 4.32. But I think he has the tools necessary to develop into a really good corner. He has that upside, and so that's why I went with Denzel Ward for the Packers.
I mean, I'd have to agree. He's got great measurables. He's graded as one of the highest in the entire combine. Let alone, he's the highest at corner in terms of their grade. I think you can't go wrong with this pick.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree because of what I was just saying earlier. They need help. I feel like I've said this for like four or five teams. Which, I mean, these are the first six. We're doing the first 16 picks in the draft, so there's a reason you're picking up there, up this high in the draft. But I feel like I've said that phrase that they can use help across the board. So I apologize for repeating myself, but it remains true.
All right, so 15 and my last pick for this pod, Arizona Cardinals, and this one is a bit of a reach.
Mm.
Mason Rudolph.
Mm.
Quarterback, Oklahoma State.
Ugh.
And I mean, the Cardinals desperately need a quarterback, and I think it's a similar situation to the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets, in that they're bringing in these okay, good, not great guys as their starting quarterbacks that these young quarterbacks will probably get groomed under. I doubt Mason Rudolph will start. But the Arizona Cardinals need a young quarterback. They had Carson Palmer for a few years, and he was only good for a few of them. And then he dropped off after 2015. It seemed like after they were on All or Nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
I still think that they just need a young guy. I mean, they have an okay receiving core. Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's the only spotlight on there, the only one that I would mention. But they need a quarterback badly, and I think he's the best quarterback available after, you know, the top five or so where we all of them were picked. And I think he's more of a true pocket passer compared to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. I love you because you're my brother, but this is by far my biggest disagreement of the first round that we did. I would be disgusted if I was a Cardinals fan and they picked Mason Rudolph. I don't see it.
You got to, man. Like, are you going to take Lamar Jackson?
No, I'm going to take...
You take Sam Bradford? You're going to rely on Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon?
Well, the thing is, they made a horrible decision in the offseason, I think, just because they signed Bradford to so much money and then signed Glennon. That doesn't make sense to me. But I wouldn't force myself to take a quarterback because of that. I would just take best available rather than take Mason Rudolph. If Baker Mayfield is there at 15, if he falls to 15, of course, that's a slam dunk. That's a steal. But if it's Mason Rudolph or, you know, I don't know, any other player that is higher than him on their overall draft board, I'm sorry. I just cannot take Mason Rudolph this high. He's tall and he's big and he made some good plays for Oklahoma State. But I've seen too much of Mason Rudolph. And that I've seen too many Mason Rudolph games that made me scratch my head to even consider him at 15. In any big game that Oklahoma State was in, it feels like he didn't perform well. He scored 13 points against Texas this year. He beat OU one time.
Before Baker was there.
Yeah, it was before Baker was there. It was like in the, I guess he probably beat like Blake Bell or something, yeah. But I understand what your reasoning. I do not like Mason Rudolph nearly enough to go 15. I think he's just another Brandon Whedon at best.
Oh, really?
I mean, I think he's probably got more talent than Brandon Whedon.
By far.
But I don't know. I'm just not convinced that he's going to be good in the NFL. He just doesn't seem to have... I absolutely hate that I'm about to say this because I think it's just so much BS. But I just... I think he so blatantly lacks any it factor. That's...
Oh, man.
I hate myself for saying that. But it's true. He just doesn't seem like he's, you know, gonna... I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Besides, that's why I use the it factor, because I don't know how to explain it.
I think he's just not being talked about a lot, and that's why people are sleeping on him. This is definitely, I mean, I agree with you to an extent. This is definitely a reach, but if I'm the Arizona Cardinals general manager, I'm saying we have had an old quarterback for so long.
Yeah.
Like, our last two, like, really, like, big starting quarterbacks were, like, Carson Palmer and before him, Kurt Warner,
yeah.
So, like, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals GM, I'm saying we need a young quarterback, please, mm-hmm. before we just, like, go 7-9 for the rest of our existence.
Yeah. Well, if you draft Mason Rudolph, you can go 4-12 for the rest of your existence.
Whatever.
Before I move on, last point. I often hear the Big 12 quarterbacks argument when it comes to Baker, and I refute that with, you know, different reasons, which I won't get into right now. But I think they so definitely apply to Mason Rudolph. That's really what it comes down to me, for me.
Yeah.
But we'll see, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a prototype Big 12 quarterback, it would be him. Just a pocket guy who can sling it deep. But, you know, you got to. You can't keep going with these old, decrepit, beat down quarterbacks.
I guess so. I'm not a Cardinals fan, so what do I care?
I'm not either, so yeah, this is...
All right, last pick in today's show, number 16, the Baltimore Ravens. I have them selecting Josh Jackson, a cornerback from Iowa. You know, Jackson is different from Denzel Ward in the sense of he's not going to, you know, he's not a burner. He's not extremely athletic, but he is a lot more polished. He has very good ball skills. He has good size. He's 6'1", 195. He's got long arms. He only, you know, started for about one season at Iowa, but he had a really good season. He plays the ball really well. Instead of just, you know, a lot of times in college you see cornerbacks that are just kind of lost because they don't really know exactly how to play corner. This guy seems to have a good grasp on that. He doesn't just play the receiver. He plays the ball, which is, you know, that's a quality that you want in a corner. I think he can come in and play sooner than a guy like Denzel Ward. He might not have as high of upside, but, you know, the Ravens need help in the secondary, and I think this would be a good pick for him because he can come in right away and contribute, if not start.
This is a pick that, now that I'm thinking about it, I agree with the initial pick if they're going to go corner, but I think the Ravens have bigger needs. But if they are going to go corner, then I think Josh Jackson is the guy to go with.
Real quick, just because we're running a little long on time, what needs do you think they have more, and who would you pick to fill those needs?
The Ravens are pretty slim at linebacker, and they are pretty slim up front and O-line. And mm-hmm. So if I were to have to pick for either one of those two, I would pick, like, linebacker, like Roquan Smith from Georgia. If I was going offensive line, I would go Orlando Brown.
Oh, no, no.
Absolutely.
Orlando Brown, number 16?
Yeah.
You could get him in the second round.
I know, but, like, who? I mean, that's just, like, I mean, okay, or...
And I love Orlando. I love Orlando. But
I mean, he is good. He just did not do well at the combine.
But maybe
Connor Williams.
Yeah,
Texas.
I would do that before I did Orlando, and even before the combine, I had my doubts about Orlando just because, especially playing left tackle. I don't think he's a left tackle in the NFL, and I didn't think that before the combine. But I was just worried that he wasn't going to be quick enough to, you know, play tackle in the NFL. That doubt has become even more after the combine, but I actually did feel that way before the combine when he was projected to be a first-round pick, which he is definitely not now. I don't think he's going to drop as far as people think. It seems like some people think, like, he's not going to get drafted now. That's silly. He's going to be a second- or third-round pick still. But I didn't love Orlando before the combine. At 16, I definitely don't love him. I realize we're getting off topic now, but yeah, they could do very well go on offensive line. They could go front seven. I think they need cornerback help, and I think this is good value, so that's why I went with Josh Jackson here.
It's a fair pick.
Yep. This that was pick 16. We did picks 1 through 16 today. We are going to do the rest of the first round, the second half of the first round, 17 through 32, either tomorrow or Saturday. We have not planned what day, but it'll be one of those two. Will, thanks for joining me. Good job.
Thanks for having me.
Glad we got to discuss some, make some picks. You know, it was fun to go back and forth. I really like it. I'm glad we did that way. I'm excited to do 7 through 32 coming up.
Me too.
This was Fill in the Gap Podcast. Again, you can find us on iTunes by searching Fill in the Gap on the Apple Podcast app. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can also find us on VendettaSportsMedia.com. Will Philbrick was joining me, my brother. He is a frequent guest, and he will continue to be a frequent guest. I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Make sure you check out 17 through 32 coming up. Thank you for listening. Myself, I'm so pretty, I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bought that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.